Today's Shi'as Masechta Avodah Zarah, Daf Ayin Beis. We will begin Beis Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, six lines from the top. It says the Gemara, Hu Gavrei Damalei L'Chavrei. There was somebody who said to somebody else, Im Ezbina L'Holcha Arab. He made him the following offer. If I sell you this, if I'm going to sell this property, L'Mezbina L'Hol, I will only sell, L'Mezbina L'Hol, I will only sell it I will only sell it to you. And as all the Rishonim explained, they made a kinyan to affect that agreement. Also, Zabna Lina Shechrena. Then the seller went and sold it to someone else. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef comments, Kana Kama. The first one becomes the owner of this property because he made the kinyan. And now that the seller indeed showed that he's interested in selling the property, the first kinyan kicks in. Amalei Abayi, to which Abayi said, V'olei Pasak, they had never agreed to a price. And since they had never agreed to a price, a kinyan, says the Gemara, without a price is not a kinyan. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, Umanot Temra, from where do we know that that is the halacha? Umanot Temra, the Kolech, the Leposak, from where do we know when there was no agreement on price? Like Kana, there is no Kinyan. Says the Gemara, we learn it from our Mishnah. The Tanan, our Mishnah said that if Yisrael, Ha'maychi Yehna Lev Kachavim, if Yisrael sold his wine to a Nakri, Posak at Shlei Modod, if they agreed on a price, and then the Nachri did a Kinyan Mashicha. So since they had agreed on a price, and there was also a Kinyan, it becomes the wine of the Goy. And since it becomes the wine of the Nachri, the Jew is not receiving payment for Yayin Nesrach. However, Madad HaShloi Posak, even if they did Mashicha, but there was no agreement on a price, Domav Met Asurim, it didn't become the Nachri's wine. And now, when the Nachri touches the wine to affect the Mashicha, it's not his wine. It's still the wine of the Yisrael. And therefore, the Nachri made that wine Usur. So here too, asked the Gemara, given that they had entered into this agreement, but there was no agreement on price, it shouldn't be obligating him. Says the Gemara, my Havalah. Says the Gemara, what is the Halacha? Says the Gemara, Kamrinan. Says the Gemara that, like Abayi said, that the Kinyan is not a valid Kinyan, back to the beginning of our Shia today, given that they had not agreed on a price. So since they had not agreed on a price, the Kinyan wasn't a good Kinyan. But says the Gemara, yes, our Mishnah clearly indicates that without agreement on price, we don't have a Kinyan. But maybe we can't bring a raya from our Mishnah to other areas, to other questions. Because Dilma Chumah the Yayin Nesach Shani, because as we keep on learning, the Yayin Nesach is particularly strict, because Yayin Nesach we know is also because of Avodah Zarah. Maybe there Chazal were machmer that if there was no agreement on price, there is no Kinyan. And that's why the Jew who receives payment for that wine is receiving payment for Yayin Nesach. But that doesn't necessarily mean that so is the halacha that in all that so is the halacha in all other situations. Toshma, says the Gemara. The Gemara wants to bring a raya that again, if there is no price agreed upon, there is no kinyan. Damar of Idi Bar Oven of the Havaber of Chizda. There was a story in the Hohen Beis Medrash of Rav Chizda where this question was asked, if you could have a kinyan, even though there was no agreement on price. Rav Chizda Rav Huna, and Rav Chizda asked this question to Rav Huna, Upashte, and Rav Huna answered it, Mahadatanya, from where we learned in the following brisa. There was a person whose workers would bring him fruit on top of a donkey, or they would carry the fruits to this employer, and he wanted to sell this fruit to someone else. Moshach Hamar of a Payalov, if this person, the buyer of these fruits, did meshicha on the donkeys or on the workers while they were still being carried, and he took them home, whether they had agreed on a price, but there was no meshicha, or bein modat actually pasuk, or he had done meshicha, but he had not, he did meshicha, but he did not have a price, like kana, there is no valid kinyan, and since there is no valid kinyan, the loch is shnei michayim lachzer, the meicher and the kaina, the seller and the buyer, could retract on this deal because there was no kinyan. And the different cases that we just described have different reasons why they could back out. In the case where there was agreement on the price, pasak, but there was no kinyan, so if there's no kinyan, there's nothing that causes a transfer of the ownership. Because you have to do kinyan on the produce, not on the people. Even if you had the people carrying the fruit, and you had the people come into your property, you have to do a kinyan on the fruit, not on the people. And in a case where there was a proper meshicha, but they had no agreement on price, there's also no kinyan, because you never know what he's going to charge, and since you never know what's going to charge, it doesn't affect the transaction. However, Pirkan, if they took the fruit off the donkeys, off the workers, and they would take it into the home of the buyer, if they had agreed to price before the kinyan had taken place, then neither could back out. Because since there was an agreement on the price, and they were brought into the property of the lekeach, the halacha is that it's a valid kinyan. And from here we see, say the Rishonim, relating to a discussion we've had previously, that if they are in the property of the buyer, even though they're still in the kalim of the seller, but since they've been brought into the property of the buyer, it's enough to have a kinyan. However, modad, if the kinyan had taken place actually pasak before they had agreed on a price, but they both could retract. So we see that without an agreement on price, there can never be a kinyan. And that's why the case that we began our shiur today, where they had agreed that he would sell him the property, but they had not agreed on a price, there is no kinyan. Says the Gemara, "Hu gavra d'amar l'chavri." There was somebody who said to someone else, "Im azgina loch l'cha ara, if I will sell this property, mazbina loch, you will get the right to buy the property." And he said, "B'meizuzi," they had agreed on a price, and they had made a kinyan on that price. And now, says the Gemara, "Ozel v'zomna linish achrina." And now the seller, instead of selling it to the person that he had agreed to sell it to, sold it to someone else, b'meiv esrid, not for $100 that he had agreed with the first buyer, but he sold it to the second buyer for $120. Amrav kahana, kana kama. The first buyer is the buyer, since they had agreed on a price, and they had also made a kinyan, so that's the final deal, and the second buyer can't get it. Maskele Rav Yaakov Narab Koid, so Rav Yaakov Narab Koid is dissatisfied with this psak. He says, "Hi, the person who sold it because Zuzi and Sua, because the second person had offered him a price that was more than the first person, and it was a price that he could not refuse. Without that, he would have never sold. So he only sold because he got a better deal. What was the deal that he had made with the first buyer?" says Rashi. "The deal he had made with the first buyer is that the value of this field is $100, and if you're willing to pay it, when I'm ready to sell it, it's yours," and they made a kinyan. But when he actually sold it for $100, he did, for $120, he said, that was, he says, Rabbi Yaakov Narpkoid, that wasn't what this seller and buyer spoke about it. And since it was sold for a different price, that is what drove the sale. And therefore, even though there was a kinyan with the first buyer, it doesn't change halacha. So, says the Gemara Hilchasan, the halacha is Krav Yakman Harp Koid, that the second buyer keeps it. So, the Rishonim point out that certainly in a case where when he had made a kinyan with the first buyer, he had not said Mi Achshav, then there's no question that that isn't, that the second buyer will get it. Because the lack of saying Mi Achshav means that the whole first kinyan was meaningless. The only reason that there's a discussion, and in fact the Tanakhama says that the first buyer gets it, is only because he had used the word Mi Achshav. The other Rishonim, however, say that you don't have to say Mi Achshav, because it's obvious that that was the intention here. And since that's obvious that that was the intention, even without saying the word Ve'achshav is valid. There's a big machlokes Rishonim here. So the Gemara just said that we pass him like Rabbi Yaakov and the Harp Koid, that if the second buyer ultimately prevails. So there's a machlokes Rishonim. What happens given the circumstances, the first buyer, presumably unhappily, now says, I'll match what the second buyer is willing to give. So I'll also give $120. So the Ravid's opinion is that it will become the property of the first buyer. Even to the degree, says the Ravid, that even if the deal, the sale was already made with the second buyer, if the first buyer comes and says, I'm willing to meet that price, given the circumstances of this case, it will become the first buyer's. The Rosh and the Ramban disagree. And they say, not only in a case where it was already given to the second buyer, does the first buyer not have the ability to take it, but even in a case where it wasn't yet given to the second buyer, it was just agreed upon, the concept of Yaakov Nahar Pekoid said is that Zuzei and Tzua, so it's a whole new deal. And what Rav Yaakov Nahar Pekoid is saying with Zuzei and Tzua means that what happened previously is ignored. And therefore, because as we explained, what happened here is that it's as if he said when he sold it to the first buyer, I'm selling to you at market value. I'm not talking about when the price, the money I'm offered, forced me to sell it. And therefore they hold that even if the first buyer is willing to match the second buyer's price, and the second buyer had not yet received it, it doesn't make a difference. The Ramban also says, because the way to understand Rav Yaakov Nahar Pekoid is because when he sold it to the first buyer, he just said, this is the value and this is the deal. But if he had said, and this is what the first buyer should have done, I think that's what Ramban is trying to tell us, is that the first buyer should have said that no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances you find yourself in, you have to sell it to me, that even though the second buyer offered him more, and even though, as the Gemara is telling us, there's a concept of Zuzei and Tzua, it all would make no difference, and it would become the first buyers. Says the Gemara, Amalei, says the Gemara, if a seller said to buyer, I'm going to sell you this property, Kedeshaimi Tlosa, as three experts will evaluate, assess the property, and they made a kinyan, says the Gemara, and then they bring three people to assess the property. Says the Gemara, in this situation, we don't have to have that all three of the people that are brought have to agree, that all three of the people that are brought have to agree to the sale, to the value. I feel Tremigoy Tlosa. Even if two out of the three people agreed to the value of the property, That's going to be the value that we accept. Because, explained the Rishonim, when somebody says the words K'dashayim Yishloisha, what he means to say is that these three individuals should serve as a Beis Din. And we know that whenever we have a Beis Din of three people, what is the Beis Din doing? Two of the three have to agree. And as soon as we have two of the three agreeing, it's enough, like in any Beis Din. However, the Ritva points out that even though it's satisfactory that you should have three people, you should have two out of three, it doesn't mean that if you'll have two just coming and giving an evaluation, we don't have to bother getting a third person. Just like a Beis Din, it's not enough that you should have two people agreeing. You need to have three people, and two out of the three should agree. Here, too, you're going to have a group of three, and from the three, if two agree, that will be the price. But then the Ritva asks, we learned in our shir today that in order for a kinyan to be effective, they had to have agreed on a price before the transaction takes place. And this Gemara, when the buyer and seller began speaking, that there was no price agreed to. So he explains that where is the requirement that in order for a kinyan to be effective, you have had to agree on a price for? It's when the buyer and seller are going to come up with a price together. So in a case where the buyer and seller are going to come up with a price together, they have to first come up with a price, and then we could do a kinyan. But here, they had agreed that the price is not going to be set by them, the buyer and seller. It's going to be set by these other people. There, they don't have to have a price set first. If, however, when this deal was made, they said, "Ka amri tlosa," they said like three people will say, here halacha is ad amri betlosa, until all three people that they bring to assess the property will agree. If they said, k'dashayimri be'arba, like four people will agree, will assess it, the kinyan is not chal, ad amri arba. Even though he used the word shuma, which we said a moment ago is usually the wording that's used by dayanim, and dayanim, as we also said, we always follow the majority of the dayanim. But here, he said we have to bring four people. Four people is not a Beis Din. So by saying that he wants four people, what he was saying is, I want it not to be treated like a Beis Din and a majority will rule. I want all four, I need to have a price that all four agree. But Koshkein, and certainly in a case where it was expressed, when they said that all four will agree, of course you have to have all four agreement. So what the Gemara is teaching us, not in this case, but in the previous case, is a difference between where you use the word shuma. Shuma is a word that's used for a Beis Din, versus when you use the word ka'amri, that means you have to have all in agreement. Amalei, says the Gemara, if they said K'dashayimri betlosa, like we'll have three people who act as a Beis Din assess the property, and then says v'asa tlosa v'shamua, and then three people came and they evaluated this problem, this property, v'asa tlosa v'shamua, v'amalei idach leisa tlis achrina. The person who is buying the property says, I'm not satisfied with this price, and since I'm not satisfied with this price, let three other dayanim come, the kim lutfei, that they, I think, will be do a better job. Amra papa, dinu demakev. The halacha is that the seller has every, the buyer has every right to make such a request. Amra papa, dinu demakev. Maskler funa breider v'shua. My the hanikim lutfei asked the Gemara, why would we believe that the second group are more experts than the first group? Maybe the first group are bigger experts, says the Gemara. And why should we therefore agree that they should bring another group. V'hilchos and different halacha is that the buyer cannot say, I want a different group. So Ritva, in analyzing the Gemara, tries to understand what is exactly the case that is being discussed here. If both of them, the buyer and the seller, chose the first three, why could anybody suggest that they could retract? And if it's speaking about a case that one of them was dissatisfied from the beginning, and he says, I don't like these three assessors, why would he have to agree to their assessment? What's the basis of machloikus? So because of these questions, the Ritva explains that at the beginning, this buyer chose this group by himself, and the seller didn't say anything. And then after the evaluation took place, the buyer came and said that he wants different people. But Papa holds that since he always has a right to have an opinion, so he still has the right to have an opinion, and therefore he could say, I don't want this group. Rav Huna says, the fact that he remained silent at the beginning, so that that means that he gave up his rights, and now he has no right to change his mind and say that I'm not satisfied with their evaluation. So this question is a valid question in many areas of halacha. What is the halacha if somebody wants different people to make an evaluation? Do we follow that or not? And the way the issue comes up is by a question of Pikuach Nefesh, somebody asked either Yom Kippur or Chil Shabbos. What is the halacha? So the Magen Avraham says that we always take into consideration that the people who are bigger experts, and therefore, in a case where two doctors say that the chayla has to eat on Yom Kippur, and two other doctors say that he doesn't, we tell him to eat. And the Magen Avraham says that he eats. And the Magen Avraham says that isn't what we automatically do. What we do is we look at who is the bigger expert. And therefore, since we follow the bigger expert, that's going to perhaps be the case here as well. But then the Pesukim suggest that the whatever Psak was suggesting by Refuah, by eating on Yom Kippur or Chil Shabbos, should not necessarily be a proof to what we do in our Gemara. Because when it comes to Refuah, the Pesukim want to suggest that in a place where we have a bigger expert doctor, the first doctor who's not the same level expert should not really be answering the question altogether. You shouldn't be answering a question about refuah if there's somebody who's a bigger expert than you who could answer the question. It's only in our case where in our Gemara could be, however, different. Because our Gemara, we're not talking about something as important as refuah. Since we're not talking about something as important as refuah, then the halacha is that maybe you could rely on whoever said the first opinion and can't say, I want a bigger expert. Our Gemara has been speaking about if somebody agreed to a price, can he back out or not? The Gemara says you have to, the consideration if there was a kinyan. The Shulchan Aruch in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Nun Dalet, teaches us, Hanois v'noisin b'dvaram b'vad, v'ein roi loy lamed b'dvaray. If somebody is making a deal with somebody, it's appropriate to keep your word. Api shalag lakach medam klum, even though no money was exchanged, if anybody backs out from their word, the people that are not to be trusted, and the Ramah says that the halachi is that even if a deal just was discussed, and afterwards the price changes, the halacha is one should not back out of the from the deal. But the Paiskim discuss, what is the halacha? This is halacha when two people, two individuals, are doing a deal. When two individuals are doing a deal, we learn here, it's important, the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, teach us that it's important to keep your word. But what will be the halacha when the two people who are when it's not regular people who are doing a deal, but it's rather a tztaka? A gabbai is selling something, etc. A shul is selling something or buying something. Does the halacha that one should keep his word apply there? Or perhaps, as we're learning in our Gemara, that if there was no kinyan, or even if there was a kinyan, but there was no price set before the kinyan doesn't really mean anything. So what will be the halacha then? Do they still have to keep the word, even if it represents a loss to the shul? Or if it represents a loss to the shul, there, a person should take from his own money and do what's right. But when we're not talking about a person's own money, when we're talking about hegdish money, the gabbai has no right to say, well, I'm going to be generous and keep my word, even though it represents a loss to hegdish. And the question is a very, very fundamental question, because the basis of this question really is, how do we understand what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are teaching us? Do we understand what the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah are teaching us? Is that this is proper behavior. So maybe we can't insist that Hegdish have the proper behavior when it's at the expense, when it's at the expense of Hegdish. Or is this what the Halacha requires? And this is what the halacha requires, then the halacha obviously applies to Hegdish as to individuals equally. It teaches us the Mishnah. Hamishap notel as a mishapich. If the Yisrael took a funnel, umadad l'toich tzlusa shlev t'kachavim, and he poured wine into the cup, the jug of the Nachri. So many times when we're pouring wine from one keli into another keli, we're going to use a funnel. So again, notal hameshapech a model tach tzlusa shalav kachavim, a chazor model tach tzlusa shal Yisrael, and then afterwards he poured into the jug of Yisrael. Im yesh by a keves yain, if in the funnel is a place where wine gets stuck, osur, because the wine in the funnel became usur when it was being used to pour into the jug of the Nachri. And therefore, when we're going to pour more wine, that wine that we're going to pour is going to come in contact with the wine that's in the funnel. And since it's going to be come in contact in the funnel, since it's going to come in contact with that wine in the funnel, which is usur, therefore, I can't use it to pour for wine into a Jew's jug. It teaches us the Mishnah another halacha. Mar mikliya kli, if somebody is pouring wine from one keli into another keli, mutter, the wine that's left over in the keli from which he poured is mutter. However, she'er l'taychai, the wine that was poured into the second keli, usur. Because we're learning from here that if wine that was poured through a Nachri, that the halacha is that whatever gets poured out by the Nachri, the halacha is that it becomes usur. Tanan Hasam. So it says the Gemara, we learned in Mishnah Masechta Taharis. The Mishnah Masechta Taharis teaches us Hanitzuk, something that's poured in a stream, Vakatafris, water that rolls down an incline. Omashka tefeich, if we have liquid, that you have so much liquid that it's still moist enough, that it still has moisture, and a chibur, it's not considered a connection. Loi linya tuma, that if somebody poured tar liquid, and the water is going down with a stream, and since the water is going down with a stream, the bottom is being touched by somebody's tamei, it won't affect the water that's on top. And similarly, if water is on an incline and the water that's on bottom touches something that's tamei, it won't affect what's on top. Or the same is when you have liquid that's wet and somebody touched the liquid that's wet, and that liquid is somewhat connected to that moisture, somewhat connected to tar liquid, it doesn't become tamei. Loilin tara, it doesn't help for mikveh either. If you have two water holes that don't have a bom saw, and we know that the halacha is that in order to have a kosher mikveh, you have to have a bom saw. But the two bodies of water are connected through nitzik or katafris or mashke tofeach. It's not considered a way to connect. It's not considered a way to connect the two mikvahs. Hashbayrin. But if you have ground that is cracked and water gathered in that crown, in that crack, in those cracks, so then what's ever on one side, chibul atum l'tahara. Says the Gemara, Am Rav Huna, hanitzik v'katafris mash tefeach, all these different examples that we just discussed, says the Gemara, chibul l'inyin yai nesach, the connection as far as yai nesach is concerned. If the bottom keli has yai nesach, and you have a stream pouring from the upper keli of wine, which is not yai nesach, it connects to the water in the bottom keli, and all of, to the wine in the bottom keli, and all the wine is considered yai nesach. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, Menolacha, says, from where do you take this halacha? Says, Ilam Menatanan, from the Mishnah that we just learned, says, Anitzik v'katafas v'mashka d'feyach, ein echiba loy l'tum v'l'tahara. So doesn't the Mishnah mean to say, L'tumel tahara hud loichev echibur, as far as hilchus tumel tahara, it's not considered a means of connecting. Ha linen yai nesach avechibur. As far as yai nesach is concerned, it is a way to connect. But ask the Gemara, if that's the way you're going to learn, aim a sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, there, ha'ashbrin chimel tumel tahara. Doesn't that mean to say, L'tumel tahara hud avechibur, so this is self-contradictory. Ashbroin, as we saw from that Mishnah, is certainly much more of a connector. Ashbroin is much more of a connector than Nitzik. So if Ashbroin is not a connector, how could we say that Nitzik is a connector? Ella says, we can't, because this ratio, the sefer, as we just learned, clearly teach are contradicting each other. So says the Rav, the way to properly learn the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is teaching us from that Mishnah speaking strictly about Tum and Tahara. That Mishnah has nothing to do with Yai Nesach. And that Mishnah cannot serve as a way to know what is the halacha of Yai Nesach. Says the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, not l'mashpecha modded, if somebody took the funnel and poured wine l'tach tzulusa shalev t'kechavim, v'chazo modded l'tach tzulusa shalev t'chshrol, and then he goes and measures and uses it to pour into the jug of the Jew, im yesh b'yish in akheves yayin, if there's still wine left over, also because you have yayin nesach there. Had a keves yai b'maikah mitzvah. So ask the Gemara, what made the wine in that keves yai nesach la benitzach? So don't we see, because it was connected from the kosher wine to the non-kosher wine. Isn't this clearly arrived from our Mishnah that we say that nitzach is a connector? Says the Gemara, k'datani, the Tani Rav Chiya, in explaining the Mishnah, is not to be understood. What happened was there was so much wine in the bottom jug of the Nochri that the wine in the bottom jug backed up into the funnel. So since the wine from the bottom backed up into the jug, that's why the wine in the funnel, that's why the wine in the funnel is considered problematic wine. Otherwise, it would be not be a problem. So says the Gemara, so according to the way we're learning the Mishnah now, if the bottom barrel had not backed up my loy, it wouldn't be a problem. So if that's the way we're learning the Mishnah, and Rav Chiya is quoting a Braisa to teach us that that's the way to learn the Braisa, so shouldn't this be a Raya? Shouldn't this be a Raya? The Nitzik ain't a Chibur. The Nitzik is not considered a Chibur. Says Mar Loilam, says the Gemara Pachta Tzluv Chosoi, the way to understand the Mishnah is as follows. In a case where Pachta Tzluv Chosoi, where the bottom wine is backed up, there's no question, Tifshlocht Osir, it's certainly Osir. And what about in the case of Nitzik? Says the Gemara, Tabai, it's a question, we don't know the answer. Tashma, says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah, Hamar Meklil Kli, if a Jew is pouring wine from the Kli of Yisrael into the Kli of a Nachri, Eshemar Memenemutar, the wine that's in the upper Kli that he's pouring from is Mutar. What does that indicate? Hadabeni Beni, the wine that's in the stream between the upper Kli and the lower Kli is going to be Asr. Why will it be Asr? Shmamina, because Nitzik is a Chibur. Says the Gemara, that is incorrect. In Nitzik Chibur, if the halacha is that Nitzik is a connector, then afilo the gavi the money namilitzer. Whatever is left in the upper Kli should be Asr. Halakasha. So why is the halacha that the wine in the stream is Asr, but the wine in the upper Kli is not? Halakashta kamatvik fute. The person who's pouring the wine from the upper Kli is pouring it slowly. And by pouring it slowly, there is no stream. And since there's no stream, that's why it's not Asr, says the Gemara. Fine. If that's the way you're learning the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is speaking specifically about a case where there is no stream, is Mashma. It seems that if there were a stream, it would be Asr. So shouldn't that be a Raya, the Mikom Mokom Nitzach Chibur? Says the Mal Tameich. So continue learning the Mishnah. Eim Seifa. Es She'ir L'Toychoi. The Mishnah speaks about that the wine that was poured into the Kli is Ahud Asr. It seems that only the wine that hits the bottom Kli, the Kli of the Nachri is Asr. Hadabeni Beni, the wine that's in the stream is Shari. Why? If we say Nitzik Chibur, shouldn't that wine be Asr? Or we say Mihal Lekla Mishnah, our Mishnah cannot be a Raya. Toshma, says the Gemara, let's learn the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamaram Mechavis Labar, if somebody's pouring wine from a barrel into the bar of wine, Hakluach Yard Misfas Achavis Lamatam, anything in the stream that goes out of the barrel is Asr. So isn't this clearly a Raya, the Nitzik is a Chibur, the Nitzik is a connector? Says the Gemara, Tigger Rav Aisha, but Ivakachamara. That Braisa is speaking about a case with the Nachri who's pouring the wine. And that is a new halacha that we learned previously, that any wine that's poured by the Nachri, the Asr Mekoichai, anything that comes from the Koichai, is Asr. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, Ibav Chavamara, so then I feel Gavad Chavita, Nami Metzer, even the wine that's in the barrel from which it is being poured out, should also become Asr, because the Nachri is pouring that wine. Answers the Gemara, Kayach Dav D'Kham Rabbanu D'Asr. The Kayach, this is only case, a wine that's exiting the upper barrel because of the force of the Nachri. Says the Gemara, so it's a special Gzeir Chazal. And the way the Tosfos Reed explains the Gemara, really, this shouldn't be Asr, because this is not a case of Shichshuch. And when we speak about Inyan Nesach, we always speak about Shichshuch. This is not a case of Shichshuch. It's only a new Gzeira, says the Gemara. Koyach Da'avik Chavim Derabonad Asr. It's a new Gzeira that Rabbanan made by Koyach of something that Nachri poured, says the Gemara. Where did the Rabbanan make a Gzeira? Who the Nafik Levroi Kazubar Rabbanan? Only the wine that exits the upper barrel, that's where the Rabbanan made it Asr. The wine in the bottom barrel, the Gosber Rabbanan, is not what Chazal made Gzeir about. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Lahanu Sevoisei. Rav Chisda would say to the Jewish wine merchants, Ki Kalisa Chamra, when you want to measure and sell wine to the Nokrim, Katfi Ketfufi, pour the wine in a way that there shouldn't be a stream from the upper Kali to the lower keli, like move the stream out of a direct line. Inami nafutsi nafutsi, throw it. Again, always what they're trying to accomplish in both of these cases is that there should be no nitzik. Amalei, says the Gemara, Amar Rava lahana shevchoi. Rava would say to those people whose job was to pour wine from one vessel to another vessel, ki shevchisu chamra, when you're pouring the wine, be most careful that the nakri should not assist you in pouring the wine. Because if you will allow him, we need to be concerned. Maybe you're going to forget. And you're going to leave this barrel from which you are pouring the wine in the hand of the nakri. Now the wine will be exiting through the energy of the nakri, and that will make it also. The Hu Gavra Dapik Chamra. There was a person that Hu Gavra Dapik Chamra. There was a person that was pouring wine from one barrel to another barrel. Begishta ubegasgishta. What they used to do was that they had two straws that look like an upside down V. And you started sucking on one, and once you started the suction, the wine started going by itself from one keli into the other keli. Asukav chavim, it says the Gemara, a nachri came anach yanach agishta. He put his finger on the pour that was pouring out the wine, and asked Rav kul chamra, and Rav said that all the wine is asur. Bahana, all of the wine, says the Gemara. Amalei Rapap Larava, Vamalei Rav Adabah Masna Larava, Vamalei Ravina Larava, Bamai. Why are you saying that the wine becomes asur? Because nitzik. Since the nachri touched the stream, and all the wine was connected with a stream, that's why you're saying the wine is asur. So isn't this clearly indication that Shmaminon is a chibur? Says the Gemara, this isn't a classical example, says the Gemara, of Nitzik. Shani Hasan, the Kulei Chamra, all of the wine in the first Keli, Agishto Bas Gishto Garer, it's all moving because of the straw. And therefore, it's all considered connected. You can't use, this is not the same as an, this is not the same as the Aloch of a regular Nitzik. Amar Azotu Bereidu of Nachman, Kenishkishin, Kenishkonin is a jug that has two or three spouts on the side. And when you put wine into this keli, you fill them up with wine, and people could drink, use these handles like as straws. Shari, the halacha is that a Jew and a nakri could drink from this keli at the same time. Because when the nakri is drinking wine from this cup, so to speak, all the wine that he's drinking is just going out into his mouth. There's nothing going back in, and there is no connection to the keli. Says the Gemara, Vahani Mili, but this halacha is only the Kadna Pasuk Yisrael, that the Jew stops drinking before the nakri stops drinking. Avakadna Pasuk of the Chavim, if the nachri stops drinking first, loy. Because when the nachri stops drinking, what is in that straw, so to speak, goes back into the keli. The wine that was in the straw that goes back into the keli is certainly wine that is awesome. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Bar Avuna, Ikla Bei Resh Gelusa. Rabbi Rav Huna once came to the home of Resh Gelusa, Sharlei L'mishta B'kan Kishanim, and he allowed a Jew to drink wine together with Kan Kishanim. Ikad Amra, some say Rabbi Rav Huna Gufei Ishti B'kan Kishanim. He himself used this. Says the Gemara, that's Pash Pashan Gemara. But Taisvus asks the question. We just finished learning that you have to be most careful when you're drinking in a kishanim, that the Jew should be the one to stop drinking before the Nachri. So he asks, why was Rabbi Rav Huna so lenient, and why was he not concerned that the Nachri will stop drinking first, and then what he did will be something very wrong? So therefore, Tosfos has a whole different approach to this. He goes back to a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Beis Amud Beis, that there were certain situations that Chazal made a gzeira seich l'churban. And one of the things that perhaps Chazal said may not be done is drinking from a kinshonim. And what the Gemara here is trying to teach us is that drinking from a kinshonim is not something that's also seich l'churban. And therefore what the Gemara meant to say is that two Yisraelim may drink from a kinshonim, because when two Jews are drinking from kinshonim, there is no concern. But that would not be the halacha. That would not be the halacha with a Yisrael and a Nokri, because of the concern that maybe the Nokri will stop drinking before the Yisrael.